This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, and even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes to industry trends and everything in between. Looking at our first In the News article this week, the Navy and the Marine Corps are holding aviation safety stand-downs following three crashes this month, two of which were fatal. The Navy's stand-down is so the service can review risk management practices and conduct training on threat and error management processes, according to a statement from Naval Air Forces. The Marine Corps announced it would also host an aviation stand-down to review best practices and focus on areas where we can improve in order to ensure our units remain capable, safe, and ready.
Moving on to our second headline, as Boeing pushes for an exemption on their MAX 10, an FAA report or report to the FAA critiques the 737 crew alerting system. A crew alerting system provides pilots a series of visual, audio, and/or tactile warnings that something has gone wrong. MAX 10's crew alerting system has been upgraded since previous MAX models, but still does not yet comply with current safety regulations. Boeing is likely to need an exemption to get MAX 10 certified for passenger service. An independent report stated that the exemption for the MAX 10 from the crew alerting standard contributed to the two MAX crashes that killed 346 people and also influenced Boeing to suppress information about the new flight control software on the MAX known as the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, or MCAS, that was the main cause of the crashes. If an exemption is not granted, then Boeing would have to abandon the MAX 10 program or modify the cockpit system, which would both require Boeing to slow MAX's entry into service.
Looking at our next headline, jet card provider Sentient Jet is preparing to roll out a new service to its cardholders that will enable them to book a charter via text messaging on their cell phones. Using AI functionality, the automated text-to-book service will provide card owners quotes and an option to book flights without the need for any human contact. It is expected to launch in the third quarter of 2022. Through the user-authenticated and automated service, cardholders begin the process with a series of prompts, followed by the collection of necessary trip information. They're then presented with different options and quotes for the charter. The process to book a flight can take less than 60 seconds, according to the Directional Aviation subsidiary.
And finally, our last headline for today, defense contractor Raytheon moves their headquarters outside of Massachusetts. Raytheon is one of the biggest defense contractors in the country, and they decided recently to move their headquarters from Waltham, Massachusetts to Arlington, Virginia. This brings this defense giant to closer to the Pentagon. Now moving into the bulk of our episode, this week we decided to watch the old Top Gun, which was originally released in 1986. We were inspired to rewatch, or in my case, watch for the first time, the old Top Gun because of the new movie that came out recently over Memorial Day weekend, and I figured it would only be right, and it would only treat tradition correctly if we were to watch the old version prior to watch the new version. So just for some quick background, the 1986 version of Top Gun also stars Tom Cruise and has some of the same actors as the new Top Gun, where they reprise their role this year in 2022. The original film was based on an article called Top Guns in California, which recounted the real-life exploits of pilots at Navy San Diego Air Base, nicknamed Fighter Town USA. A draft of this screenplay was based on the article written by an author named Ehud Unay, and it eventually made it to Hollywood. As we all know, that's how the Top Gun movie, as we know it, came into existence. And it kind of felt like a aviation geeks chick flick, in my opinion.
True, that is such a good way to put it. I never would have thought about it like that, but yes, 100%.
Because I feel like there was a lot of like flashy like shots, yes, of like the afterburners of the engine,
right,
and like really flashy stunts that the stunt pilots performed for the movie and stuff like that. It reminded me of like those like sports chick flicks where like it's about like a football player in college or something, and they have like B-roll of like the main character like doing tackles and like throwing quarter, like touchdowns and stuff like that.
it also very much was like playing into what like every pilot like probably dreams, like,
yeah,
you know, not only flying with the best of the best, but having like the very attractive woman as the teacher,
yes,
and getting to like play volleyball with the boys. Like, it very much played into all of those things that like would be the ideal like gig.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It definitely dramatizes and romanticizes what it's like, mm-hmm, to be a Navy pilot.
Yeah, definitely.
And I thought that was pretty interesting because just like this year's Top Gun Maverick, I was reading some articles about the 1986 version of Top Gun, or the original version, and an article said that there was a huge increase in people who were interested in becoming naval pilots after the 1986 release. And there was some criticism, actually, towards the movie because people were saying, like, oh, this is just a Navy recruitment movie, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, I feel like that's kind of not surprising that a lot of people were interested. Like, I don't think they really did it on purpose, but, like, to make a good movie, right, you've got to make it, like, got to have attractive actresses and actors and stuff, yep, and you got to make it like look good and enjoyable and everything. So I don't know if that was intentional, but I thought that was an interesting take on it.
Yeah, it is.
On social media too, I've been seeing a lot of stories of like, oh, my parents were like in the real Top Gun, meaning they're in like the top whatever 3%, I think it is, of their Navy Air Force class and stuff, and they like show all these like crazy photos of their parents doing that. And then one, I don't remember who the person who posted this was, but they were saying, oh, like, I wouldn't even be alive if it wasn't for Top Gun, because both of their parents were inspired to go to the Navy by the movie, and they met in pilot school.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then he like has a video of them like going in to see Top Gun Maverick together. It's very wholesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, long-winded way of me trying to say, like, this movie and this movie franchise, I feel like, really, really did a number on how society viewed aerospace and aviation, I think.
Yeah, it definitely had a huge influence on, like you said, not only how people were viewing it, but like, just like you said, as a recruitment tool, and people actually wanted to get involved after seeing what they maybe perceived as what it was like, and might have been a little dramatized, but
just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because I feel like this point comes up pretty often, like when we talk about space stuff too. Back in the 70s, the space race was like super intertwined with the social culture at the time, I feel like, because the media was covering it. And like, you know, 10 years later, Top Gun came out in 1986. So at the time, they were really trying to garner this like social and public support for aerospace and aviation. And it's happening again, like in the era of like privatized space flight and stuff like that. Now, for some interesting reason, they decided to release Top Gun Maverick. And I don't know, I think it's pretty cool that a lot more people are starting to get interested in this kind of stuff that we didn't really see before. So I'm not complaining that it dramatizes this.
I know. No, you bring up a good point though. I wonder why they made a second one. Like I guess it'll follow him teaching, right? But like, I don't know.
I was talking to some people at work today, and we were saying, like, just leave the old movies alone. Like, they were good.
Yeah, right.
Like, we're also in an era where Hollywood, I feel like, is just remaking a lot of old classics for some reason.
Right. It seems like, from what I've heard so far, I mean, neither of us have seen the new movie yet, but I feel like everyone I talk to and everywhere I see online, like, people are just raving about it.
Yeah, I know.
So they must have done something right with it.
I know. I mean, okay, what was your overall rating of the 1986 Top Gun?
Oh, let me think. I would maybe give it, I'm going to say a 7.5.
Wow, generous.
Oh, you think that's generous? I think that it was, I think for the times, it was sort of like feel good in some points. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that gave it a little nudge into the better side. And watching it today just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So much, because it's like, it's not even meant to be funny, like you know, there are some like fun little one-liners or whatever, but like the musical cues that you have and just like the cringiness of like, I don't know, like just stuff like that. I think it is overall like aside from like the just corniness of it, it is a good story. I think that's those are my thoughts. What would you rate it?
So, okay, I would give it a solid 5.
Okay.
But maybe, I mean, I'm not a film critic or anything. So it's not like
I never even watch movies. This is the first movie I've watched in a substantially long time.
Okay.
Because I hate sitting through a movie.
So. Yeah, it's definitely like a movie that you don't feel like belabored by sitting through.
Right.
Like I've sat in theaters, especially pre-COVID, for like 3-hour long Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. And you know, towards the end of that, you're like, oh my god, I just need to like stand up.
Yeah, like just wrap it up
already. Yeah. I mean, it was a good movie, but
right,
I think it was like, it really reminded me of like She's the Man, like that chick flick. Mm-hmm. With like Channing. Sure. Tatum.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It you know, I don't know if the plot was really there. Like, I feel like,
yeah,
I feel like a lot of it was like, okay, I wish we could do a breakdown of how much of the movie was people shirtless. how much of the movie was just like the stunt pilots just doing their thing.
Right. Yeah. I will say though, like the movie, like it moved. Do you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like one of those. I mean, even though it, like, it is a shorter movie, but I felt like there was never, for the most part, there weren't really many scenes that just felt, like, fluffy and, like, filler.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
There was always something happening that was progressing the story, and I never felt like, all right, like, let's get going. Like, I felt like there was always something that was adding on.
Yeah.
To the storyline, which, like, helped engage me the entire time.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, and I think I'm also biased because I really enjoyed watching the crazy, like, dogfight scenes and stuff.
Right.
I love going to air shows, and some of the air shows that I go to have, like, those military planes, and it's, like, really crazy and, like, amazing to see them in person. Mm-hmm. So seeing, like, a, like, highly budgeted movie kind of show that kind of stuff was really cool, because other than that, I would have to go to an air show to see some of those stunts, right? So I thought that was interesting, but I'm curious if people who don't like aviation or aerospace or just planes in general thought that the movie moved along.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I feel like seeing fighter jets like do that kind of stuff is like universally cool for the most part.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not. I feel like it is though.
Yeah.
But then again, like I feel like they did a good job of, on top of all of that stuff, like you know, like they'd be talking to each other or.
Yeah, like the voiceovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see that. That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. like they'd be, you know, they'd be saying, you know, like how many bigs were around them and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
So you were keeping track and following along. You weren't just watching like them doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is a very good point. So maybe it was interesting for everyone. I wonder if Top Gun Maverick has just as much like crazy stunts.
I've heard that it does some pretty crazy stuff, and he does all his own stunts.
Wait, no way. He definitely does not fly the planes, though.
He does.
What?
He has a warbird of sorts.
Wait, no way.
He has like a Mustang, I think, or something.
What?
Oh, yeah. He has, he also has his commercial rating, which is insane.
Tom Cruise has a commercial rating?
So, with him, and I had heard this before, they would always put like a Navy fighter pilot with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was doing a majority of the flying.
Wow. I don't know about the new movie, but I was reading up on some trivia for the 1986 Top Gun. The studio actually asked the aircraft manufacturer, Northrop Grumman, to install like special camera mounts on the airplane so that they could film everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like get like real time footage of people in the Tomcat.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the Pentagon charged Paramount Pictures, a producing company, $1.8 million to use all their planes and aircraft carriers for the film.
Yeah.
That's a lot, like that's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. Yeah, the budget is just...
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, he owns a few aircraft and has a World War II era P-51. Yeah, so Mustang. That's crazy.
So does he just, like, fly the Mustang?
I mean, people fly them, people restore them and fly around to air shows and around and, yeah.
What are the chances we could get Tom Cruise on our podcast?
Oh my god, let's start reaching out to some people. We got some emails to write.
On that note, I love how people in aviation aren't localized to people in the industry too. Like, it's kind of fun to hear about people who don't work in this, but really like planes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, that is an interesting perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
That wraps it up for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you want more Above the Wing content, you can follow us on Instagram at abovethewing.podcast.
Thanks for listening.